Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Nima Vidotti, how are you doing this fine day?
Yo, I'm doing really well, man. It's a freedom-loving day, even though the tyranny surrounds us. People are noticing the tyranny, at least a lot of people. And a lot of people are also upset by the tyranny, even though there is still supposedly a large number of people who think it's okay. Because if you have nothing to hide, then you should shut up, according to them.
It is a wonderful and free June 12th, 2013 here. And I just say F those people. Now,
yeah.
It's interesting that a lot of them are saying, I don't care if the government spies me, which is, they weren't saying that when George Bush was doing things like this. But, you know.
Well, a different group of people was.
Yeah.
Republicans were.
We might take that more on the radio here today. I think what we're going to do today is just complain about things and celebrate life, and then do some reading of the user submitted stuff that we haven't done yet.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yes, I'm sitting here in my windowless bunker in Beast Lake, Wyoming,
which is an actual place. Your joke about Beast Lake turned up to have a lick of truth to it.
Does it? There's a place called Beast Lake, Wyoming.
Wasn't there? I mean, wasn't that the feedback you got? No.
No.
Oh, they just misunderstood the joke.
A program director thought I said Beast Lake when I said Beast Lick, and he said, like, you know, have fun in Beast Lake, Wyoming. And I was like, that's even better. Beast Lake, Wyoming. It's more radio friendly anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're starting.
Lick beasts with their tongues as they're eating them.
Well, beasts and beasts lick each other. I made up the name Beast Lick Wyoming while watching my cats groom each other. It's not a sexual thing, although they do lick themselves. But, you know, cats that like each other will clean each other, like, all over their body. So, yeah, it was Beast Lick. But now it's Beast Lake, Wyoming. And it's actually not a windowless bunker. Somebody, I won't say who, outed me and found a picture of me doing the radio show.
We have a fiends leaker.
I know, with a window behind me, and they put big red arrows on a blurry picture to prove something. But it actually does prove that there are windows in my windowless bunker. And someone on Facebook asked, well, which window does he watch the squirrels be married out of? And it's actually the one I'm looking out. You can't see it. It's off camera. But I'm watching two squirrels hump out there.
Oh, nice, nice. Are they making noises? Are they doing squirrel sex noises?
I don't know, but I think I'm going to use that one for today's cast, that picture of me. And we need pictures of you doing the show, too.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah. I took a bunch and gave him Crazy Rich and asked him to do some memes. He hasn't done any yet, but hopefully he will. He's a weekend meme kind of guy. And I was thinking of one is just a picture of me doing the show and said, they let this guy on radio, but I don't know. It's kind of, I don't mind being self-denigrating, but I'm not going to say that about, I mean, it makes it sound like I'm bad, not I'm, you know, controversial. I am controversial. I'm surprised they let me on radio and let us on radio, but I'm not surprised they let us on radio. I mean, I think that if you'd given any of my teachers or parents or family or anybody, you know, a multiple choice question when I was 7 with 10 answers of what will Michael do when he grows up? And, you know,
radio pundit would have been a,
yeah. If you had 9 things that were like, you know, fireman, astronaut, teacher, whatever. And one of them was talk radio host. I think they all would have circled that one. So it's not surprising really.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I still love that intro on Snoop Dogg's debut album, Doggy Style. It's an intro to one of the songs, and it's a substitute teacher, Mr. Butworth, asking everybody what they want to do when they grow up. And one kid's like, I want to be a fireman. And the other one's like, I want to be a police officer. It's all like state jobs. And then he's like, Snoop, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he goes, I want to be a motherfucking hustler. You better act, somebody. And then the song starts. It's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids and show images, Our last show image, I had a good idea. I mean, what we ended up using was great. It was my mom with Ron Paul in her classroom when she was teaching second grade. But I was flying recently, and in the in-flight magazine, they had this ad for Colonial Williamsburg. And the picture was a little kid in the stocks, you know, in those wooden things that clamp your hands and your head. And the title of the ad was, "Introduce your kids to the joy of public humiliation."
Really?
And I was like, what? How do you get away with that? Like, who's going to look at that and go, oh, yeah, I want to publicly humiliate my own family.
Ugh.
Let's go to Colonial Williamsburg. And I couldn't tell if it was a joke or not, but in the text, you know, they had a paragraph about Colonial Williamsburg. And one of the things said, and we even have a place for timeout, indicating that that's what they used the stocks for. Like, it wasn't just a joke. So I don't know.
You know, I've actually been to, like, sex dungeons, consensual sex dungeons, like, you know, kind of clubs where you pay money and go in and do things in the semi-public. And they had a stocks in there. Fun.
Yeah. That kind of stuff, I guess that would be fun. If you're into that, like me and my wife's sex cage that we that was our excuse because we had a big dog cage, big steel cage.
Oh, and you told
you
couldn't have pets there, but you told the landlord it was a sex cage.
Well, that was our plan. They didn't ask about it, luckily. So, but if they asked, what's that giant cage doing in your bedroom? We were going to be like, yeah, that's kind of personal. You don't want to know.
I'm looking at this where somebody posted the other meme of me like looking dazed on the microphone that says caffeine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, and a bunch especially of people, for Michael Dean.
I know
a
bunch of people liked it and shared it, but someone I don't know named David Stump put, "Who is this guy?" And I say, "If David Stump, who the hell is David Stump?
Yeah,
who doesn't know who Michael Dean is? What's wrong with him, man?
Yeah, his article is a stump." You can add to it if you'd like.
Yeah, so we're starting on a new station. We are on six stations now as of this weekend on our live radio show group, musical group show. Which is a reference to something my dad said.
Talk radio show already sounds like what the old person would call it. He was on a talk radio
show.
We
had a discussion with the new for the new intro we made today that I was just really sick of the old intro. And I was sick of saying in every Wednesday cast, oh, if there's any program directors listening and you hear us cussing, we don't do that on the air. So we just made a bump. We had to made an intro, put it at the beginning. And we had a discussion about, I wanted to make talk radio show sound like my dad saying live. When Michael was in a rock musical group, but yeah, you're right. It already sounds like what old people would say. A live radio talk show.
Yeah, exactly.
So we enter our sixth week on radio this weekend, and we're going to have six affiliates, and that's pretty cool. We're starting this weekend on KDGO in Durango, Colorado.
Yes.
Playing from 3 to 5 on Saturdays and Sundays. So if anyone out there is listening, tune in, KDGO. Yeah.
We're really making some headway in flyover country, apparently. What do we got? North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado, Mississippi. Yeah.
Not just flyover country. All of those, everywhere we are now, five of the six stations, except for Mississippi, are all Mountain West, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And one of them is a 25,000-watt station in Wyoming that covers like three of the counties that the Free State Wyoming people mostly live in. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you were really stoked about that. That was a real big get for you, and you were calling that guy all the time because you wanted to be on the radio in the Free State counties, the free counties of Wyoming.
And we got something special to welcome our Colorado station this weekend. We're having two interviews. One was with a Colorado gun guy, and one is with a Colorado weed guy. The gun guy is a guy who is pushing this recall of some gun-grabbing politician, and it may happen. Like, they've got enough signatures to actually put it on the ballot to throw the bum out. And then we're interviewing somebody from the Guns and Weed movie from Carmaceuticals, who is, you know, we know the guy, and he's a good friend, and we're going to put him on. So we're going to have a Colorado Guns Hour and a Colorado Weed Hour, but it will be of interest to people anywhere in the world, I believe.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Half hour each.
Here's the other thing about the recall. Where I found him was I searched for gun control articles, you know, from all the news outlets to see who's there standing against it. And it was Victor Head of, like, the Pueblo Freedom Organization or something like that.
Yeah.
It's in Pueblo. I don't remember the exact name of the
Pueblo group. It's pronounced Pueblo, man.
Pueblo? It's not Pueblo?
Yeah.
Okay. Pueblo. Sí. And it's Senator Angela, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's G-I-R-O-N. Giron or Giron or Giron?
Gina.
Gina. Yeah. She is a Gina, man. She's one of the big pushers of all of these horrible gun control laws. Yeah, she's a pusher. Exactly. It's a it's the drug of the state. And she's blaming the people who are recalling her, who want her recalled. She's blaming it on racism. She accuses her opponents of racially charged vitriol against her supporters. Now, what does racism have to do? How can gun control advocates claim racism from their opponents? Gun control is one of the most racist things I can think of, especially its history.
You know, there's a theory out there that if there are corporate masters of the universe who really run a one-world conspiracy that – you know, they vet a lot of people for the presidents they put in place, and they intentionally put in a black guy to make it harder to criticize him and make it easy to say you're a racist if you don't like how he's trying to put you into camps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy the whole one group of people calling the shots. I do buy that there's groups of powerful people or powerful individuals who push things that will be to their advantage.
Well, yeah,
and I can see that happening. Somebody saying, you know, well, let's fund this and let's really push this Obama guy hard. Different interests,
in
a cabal.
We interviewed someone in person who was in the room when that happened in Wyoming, when Dick Cheney stood up in front of the Wyoming Republican Party and said, here's who you're going to back. You know, you're going to back Romney, and here's his son to tell you why. And, so, you know, it wasn't just making a suggestion. It was literally like, you know, our dear leader getting up and saying, this is what you will do. You know, there's actually, I saw a thing the other day about some like antelope shoot in Wyoming, you know, something for charity. Like you buy a ticket and you raise money and you get one shot at an antelope in a big pen or something.
The one shot. That's a big deal. And it's tradition for the governor of Wyoming to go out and participate in the one shot. Yeah. It's out in Lander or the Lander.
Well, this
area.
Year, the master of ceremonies is Dick Cheney. And I'm like, I'm not going hunting with Dick Cheney. That guy shoots you in the face when you go hunting with him. I mean, aside all the other reasons of why I wouldn't want to participate in some Stato shoot with some Statocrat, Dick Cheney, man, he's known for shooting a guy in the face he was hunting with. Why would you want to go hunting with Dick Cheney?
Well, the concept of the one shot is exactly that. You only get one shot. So who do you think he would shoot with his one shot? If you were there, would he go for you instead of the antelope, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tisk, tisk. Yeah, good point.
Now, we haven't been on radio talking about Wyoming in Wyoming long enough. Give us a couple weeks. He'll know.
He probably gets emails from the NSA, a watch list or something.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah. What a dick.
Yeah.
And that is his name.
But in that Ron Paul thing where Dick Cheney told everybody in the Republican caucus or whatever of Wyoming that, hey, here's who you're going to vote for. You know, that's still horizontal enforcement. That's the people who said, oh, that's Dick Cheney. Let's do what he says. You know, if everybody was like, shut up, Dick. We're not going to do what you tell us. Then it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Windowless bunker, my ass.
Yeah.
So I saw a great documentary, Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer, is the name of it.
Yeah. They were that Russian supposed punk band who were really popular because they were doing some kind of activism in the Russia.
The band is barely a band, and I mean, it's a documentary, so there's really no deal breakers, or what are they called?
Spoilers.
There's really no spoilers. I mean, and the documentary just tells the story, which has been told a million times over, but it does it really well.
Okay. Well, what's your take on it after having watched something in long form based on it?
Well, they're my heroes. They're my wife's heroes now. And I don't like their music, and that's got nothing to do with it. They are, you could not script fiction about activists that is more compelling than their actual story. They're really cute girls. Well, one of them's gorgeous. One of them looks like a model, and one of them's kind of cute, and one of them's kind of plain cute. The one that's kind of plain cute kind of looks like the Mona Lisa. They're, you know, between 23 and 30 or something. They, Pussy Riot is a collective. It's not just those three girls, but those are the three that got nabbed. I mean, Pussy Riot was actually doing performances while these three were in prison. That's how like decentralized it is. But
it's an open source Pussy Riot.
Yeah, and
man, that sounds great.
And
I want to go.
Yeah, and if we talk about them on radio, I think we should call them Kitty Cat Riot. I don't know. Okay, can you say
I heard, Dick Cheney.
Well, NPR, but you can say the name of the band. I heard NPR talking about Pussy Riot by name and Free Talk Live. So anyway, I think I'll call them Kitty Cat Riot anyway because it's funny. So Kitty Cat Riot, you said the band that was really popular because whatever. They were completely unknown until this happened. And this was actually their fifth performance ever they got arrested at. And they never played clubs, and they barely rehearsed, and it was more about choreography, and some of it was on a boombox, but some of it was them playing instruments. Basically, it was performance art that had guitar, bass, and drums, and they can barely sing, but they screamed. I've seen a million bands do this in America, and it's kind of boring to me, but doing it in Russia is a whole different deal. Like, basically what they did, the five performances they'd done when this happened, were all hit and run drive-by performances. Like they would run into a shopping mall, set up with portable amps and play until they got thrown out.
Now, what was their point though? Because supposedly it's performance art and it was supposed to make some kind of political or social statement. I never really was clear on what the statement was.
Well, they're very, very feminist and they don't like matriarchal organizations. They don't like tyranny.
You mean patriarchal organizations?
What did I say?
Matriarchal.
Yeah, they don't like the patriarch.
The patriarchy.
They don't like... They're kind of anarchists, probably left anarchists if you had to nail it, but it's more social than political. They just hate people telling them what to do. You know, I mean, I think that most people would look at them and say, they're just brats who don't like to follow rules, but... it was great. They interviewed their parents. They had pictures and video of them as kids. They showed a bunch of their court appearances. So basically what happened was they went into the big Russian Orthodox Church and performed on the altar when there were people in there for a mass. Like they ran up and did it. I mean, they literally, their performance was like 30 seconds and that's what this was all about. They got shut down. They went up to this place in the church where women are not allowed to go. You know, it's a patriarchal church. The Russian Orthodox Church is extremely gothic and old-fashioned, and they make hardcore Catholics look like hedonists. I mean, they are so old-school, traditional. I mean, they interviewed people from the church in this who were talking about why these girls need to be tied up and had stones thrown at them or be beheaded.
Wow.
And they were serious. Wow. In America or even in LibPair, I think what they did would be a crime, but it would be a misdemeanor of trespassing and probably disturbing the peace, and they'd probably get a $50 fine. They were facing like 5 years in prison. They ended up getting three, and then one of them during an appeal kind of said, I'm sorry, and they let her out, and the other two were like, we are not sorry. It is the system on trial here. You are at fault. And they sent him back to prison. Yeah. And like all of this, you couldn't script it better because it's like, they're really cute. They're girls. They're absolutely defiant. They're railing against, you know, old school Russian traditions that, you know, you used to get killed for railing against, but also the government there used to kill the church too. I mean, the government bulldozed the church they were in the 30s. And then after the wall fell, the Berlin Wall fell and communism supposedly ended, the state let them rebuild this. And now the church and state are really weird in Russia because under communism, church was forbidden.
Right.
And part of the kind of like social contract the government made to keep people in line after communism was protecting the church. And basically these girls were tried under hate crime laws for denigrating the church. And also they brought victims. The prosecutor had victims, like people who were harmed by witnessing this.
That's not a harm.
Yeah.
Get over it. Well, you know, recently, because this, we can actually do a follow-up on this. USA Today is reporting now that on Tuesday, the State Duma, which is the legislature or the legislative body in Russia, passed a bill that makes offending religious feelings a crime punishable by up to 3 years in prison.
That's based on this. They should call it the Pussy Riot Law.
Well, apparently it passed 308-2, and it was introduced last year after the members of Pussy Riot were convicted of, quote, hooliganism motivated by religious hatred.
Yes. And they made it very clear in their statements in court that they had no hatred of religion or any particular religion, that they were just challenging the fact that women weren't allowed in that place in the church.
Well, but on the other hand, you know, it's a church. You know, I don't see any reason why the church doesn't get some kind of freedom of association right to ban women from part of its private property.
Because it's the church, and because there's a government. And I want to know about the two people that voted against this in Russia. Who are the two Ron Pauls of the Russian parliament, or whatever it's called?
Well, apparently they either abstained or are tyrannical in other ways, because the other big news, you know, that's actually sort of a footnote in the main story on USA Today, which is about a bill that stigmatizes gay people that passed 436-0 with one abstention. And apparently the bill bans, quote, propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations. So it's a crime, apparently, to talk about homosexuality or any non-traditional, according to them, sexual relations, you know, just to talk about it in any media. And a word like propaganda is so able to be abused by prosecutors or the state to really mean whatever they want it to mean.
Yeah, I mean, saying anything that, you know, I'm wondering when they're going to do stuff like that in America and go after talk radio with it, because I am just still amazed that, like, Rush Limbaugh can be on every 50,000-watt station in the country saying what he says about the president.
Because Rush Limbaugh is still sucking on the teat of state power in a lot of ways. He still thinks there should be a state, and he wants the state to be more powerful in certain areas, like the military and the police state.
That would back your theory if there really is an Alex Jonesian one-world order, you know, 12 men in shadows whose names we don't know running the world and drinking blood somewhere. But if
I don't even think it has to back that. I just think that there's an incentive for people who make their money off of the military industrial complex and the police state complex to keep somebody like Limbaugh on the air and to not let anybody else attack him from a legal stance. Because all of Russia's audience is like, yeah, throw them drug dealers in jail, and yeah, go bomb those countries over there.
What do you think they're going to do when the fiends are on 60 stations instead of six stations?
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, they haven't gone after Ian Freeman yet.
That's true.
He's been in court a few times, but it's for his stuff his city council did to him, not stuff
right.
One world government or the federal government did.
Right, right. And, although the FBI does want to infiltrate his Keene Activity
his house.
Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is his house.
I know.
Want spies on the inside.
Yep. The Keene Activity Center is Ian's house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the windowless bunker is my bedroom, which actually has two windows in it.
Yeah. Well, what I get out of this whole Russian thing is, to me, it's another example of how you can have a tyranny. You can even have a dictatorship in the presence of democracy. I mean, these were people voting unanimously to take rights away from other people. You know, the 436-0 vote in the legislature. Now, political scientists would say, hey, you know, they voted for it. You know, legal positivists would say, hey, they voted for it. It's their right to tyrannize those gay people.
I would say, too, that in a true democracy, in the founder sense of the word, I mean, I would have made the Bill of Rights unchangeable, you know, that you can't add amendments that remove those amendments, because I really think that they should have foreseen the possibility that a majority would be so brainwashed they'd want to take away basic rights. But,
right.
You know.
Well, like we've talked about, I think it was last weekend, the fact that there were weasel words put in there, and the Bill of Rights was almost sort of something that the Hamiltonians let the Jeffersonians or the Anti-Federalists put in there so it would get ratified more easily. But yeah. I don't think a lot of the quote, founding fathers, or at least the more tyranny-oriented wing, you know, they wanted the Bill of Rights to be able to be trampled on in the future.
And there's a lot of places where free speech is being gone after, including, I would say, with Bradley Manning and whatever they're trying to do to Snowden, the guy who leaked the thing we've been talking about for 2 years, which is that the central scrutinizer exists and is watching you 24/7. And
yeah,
it's suddenly news somehow, although it really isn't. But, you know, they really haven't gone after talk radio. I mean, they're not even like auditing Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. You know, they're not even doing like stuff they can do legally. I kind of wonder how far of a tyranny you can get to where there is still talk radio of right wingers and libertarians screaming at the government on 50,000 watt stations,
calling the government a tyranny. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hannity and Limbaugh don't call the government a tyranny. They call
Barack Obama a tyrant.
They call the parts of it they don't like a tyranny. What? How did they deal with George Bush? Were they always humping his leg, or did they ever say he did anything unconstitutional?
I don't remember too well, but I would imagine, and something tells me that what they did was they spent most of their complaining time and their 2 minutes hate on opponents of the Bush administration, on those liberals who want you to die at the terrorist hands because they want Bush to be, quote, softer, you know, on terrorism or things like that. So that's what I imagine. That's just in my head. I didn't really listen to Limbaugh or Hannity or ever really see them back in the Bush days.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Man, if anybody remembers, let us know.
Well, yeah, because we have listeners who've said that their road to liberty was listening to that kind of talk radio. I listened to a few months of TV watching Glenn Beck. That was the only thing I watched. And I watched Fox News News. But,
right. But that was still during the early Obama administration, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was also like right before Glenn Beck got kicked off of TV for starting to tell too much truth.
Right.
So
talking about the Fed.
Yeah, and all those guys are different on radio than on TV generally. Like Hannity is pretty he's more extreme on radio, and so is Glenn Beck, than on TV, just because you can be, and I don't know, somehow there's something with the advertisers that you can get away with more. But
yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I like the format of radio so much more than I liked being in TV.
Yeah. Also, there are 50,000 watt radio stations in this country that are independently owned. There's not a lot of them,
right?
But there are. Whereas any TV that's, you know, basically almost any local TV is owned by a big corporation that's national.
Well, and even the ones that aren't, like in Wyoming, we were owned by just a dude, just a business guy. I mean, he wasn't really an expert on TV. He was just a good businessman. And so he bought some stations thinking they'd make him some money. But still, the programming is, I don't want to say it's dictated, but when you become an affiliate,
you have to take some of it. Yeah.
If you're carrying ABC programming, then, you know, your hands are kind of tied in what you can put on the air and can't put on the air.
And there's some of that with radio, but not nearly as much. Like, you don't have to take 4 hours of programming a day of one person just to get Rush Limbaugh. You have to take Rush Limbaugh a certain number of days, and then sometimes you have to replay his replays on the weekend, but not always, because we are replacing him on one of those stations where they were like, oh, yeah, people have different agreements and we can take our own agreement. So, you know, basically what it is it's how much stations can bully people. If stations just stand up and say, yeah, I'm only willing to take Rush this day, and this day, and I'm not going to take the other shows you're pushing on me, and I'm not going to take them on weekends. If it's a market they want and there's not another big station in that area, they'll do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, that's one of the good things is the power is more dispersed, I think, less centralized when it comes to radio and radio programming.
You know, something we didn't really make absolutely clear a few weeks ago when we were reading that complaint of some leftist bitching about Rush Limbaugh and saying, it's not fair because he gives away his show and it's not fair to left-wing stations. And I was like, well, left-wing stations give away their show too. We kind of touched on this, but we didn't make absolutely clear, even though there's no money exchanged, it's not free because the ad time that the network, the station, and the show are getting in that deal is worth money. It is not it's not an intangible. It is cash. Literally, yeah. You sell that time and people pay you giant chunks of money for it.
Right. Well, so, the time is the currency, yeah. Right? I mean, economic exchange is based on what you exchange, and you're exchanging ad time.
Yeah, I love the model of talk radio. It's very brilliantly market. It's so free market in the true sense of the word. It's so the market. It's literally like, you know, somebody produces a show. In this case, it's us. We get it somehow over the interwebs to a network. In our case, Genesis Communications Network. Genesis Communications Network offers it on a satellite feed to stations that want to take it. In this case, the 6 that have taken us so far and the 600 that'll have us by the end of next year.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, in some situations like where, you know, it's a different kind of network like Cumulus or something. I don't know if Cumulus does this in particular, but certain networks like the ones that take the big guys like Rush, you know, they have deals and they have people who do the calls, and GCN has some people who do calls too. But for a new show, it's up to us. Like, we're the ones making the calls. So we call up stations, convince them to kick somebody off the air and put us on instead, which is a lot harder than you'd think it is. And, you know, we've got 6 shows in 6 weeks, which is pretty amazing because there are shows on GCN and other places.
6 affiliates.
6 affiliates, yeah. There are people that have been on for like 3 years that don't have 6 stations. So we're kicking butt with it. But literally, I've made phone calls to and either left messages or talked on the phone with program directors at about 450 stations to get us on 6 stations.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough going. And, we all appreciate your service.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You, Michael.
Thanks. I do have to do a shout out to David Smith, though. David Smith was the initial contact on KDGO that we're starting on. We had a bunch of guys making calls for us for a while, and you know, some people quit before they started. Some people quit after making a couple calls. Nima makes a few calls here and there, but I get up and do this for 4 or 5 hours, 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And I've fired a couple people for not necessarily screwing up at all, but basically, like, you know, some people take 2 months to call 20 people, and I can call 20 people by lunch, and I'd rather do that than deal with the 15 emails back and forth with the person after spending a couple hours training them how to do it. So I'm getting really do-it-myself about it, and pretty much now it's just me doing all of it, you doing a tiny bit of it, and David Smith doing it when he has time. Ron was doing it, but I haven't heard from Ron. Ron, are you in jail? You're in New York. What's up, man? Give us a call.
But that's not to say we don't appreciate everybody's good intentions.
Absolutely.
And the people who have
Absolutely.
Definitely helped us.
Yeah. I mean, the people that I've said, don't worry, I can take it for you, you know, never mind. I'm not saying, oh, you suck. It's basically just, you know, I could be polite and say, yeah, keep doing it. But it's more work for me to be dealing with someone else than to just deal talking between the two lobes in my brain and do it all myself. You know, it really is. I mean, Why deal with back and forth with somebody for 2 months to get done what I can literally do by lunch? I would rather do that myself.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because here's part of the thing of why it's more work to have someone else do it for the most part. Because we're tweaking the whole system as we go of what we say, what works, what doesn't, what emails we send out. And I change that and improve it like 3 times a week. And I do send the email to you, but like, to have to like send it to someone else and then deal with the questions that come back, it's so much easier to just contain it within my head, man.
Yeah, yeah. Worms.
We're going to go to the market and put some ads in here. We'll be right back.
Peace.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Kitty feet.com, kitty feet.com, kitty feet. Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yo. Freedom Yo. Fiends are back. What you got there for us, Nima?
All right. So you made me hip to this. And actually, it is the top thing on the Lou Rockwell blog. Of course, that happened after you sent it to me. But
I'm
still,
I'm hipper.
Great minds think alike. So the whitest kids you know of fame for doing some great sketch comedy, including some pretty libertarian stuff. They did a bit on the Pledge of Allegiance, where the kids are basically reciting that their lives are worthless in the face of the state, and they will volunteer their own deaths if need be. And that's what they're pledging. Of course, kids don't know what they're saying when they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and that's kind of where the humor comes from there. They also do a great bit on Abraham Lincoln, and they do a great bit on political candidates.
Yeah.
But this one here kind of takes the cake. It's the NSA wiretapping public service announcement from the whitest kids you know. You can find it at funnyordie.com. So I'm going to go ahead and play this here.
Hi, I'm Trevor Moore. Due to the recent revelations that in order to fight terrorism, the NSA has been using a secret court order to spy on every single Verizon and AT&T customer, Americans have become outraged and concerned about their rights to privacy. But along with that concern comes a feeling of hopelessness. I mean, what can we do? Vote in new leaders? Well, the problem is that during an election, each candidate pretends to not be an asshole. Then when they get the job, they reveal that they've actually been a complete asshole this entire time. Just look at these people they're going to let us pick from in 2016. You think that they're not going to be giant assholes? No, elections are of no use. The only way to fight back against our country's excessive wiretapping and data mining is to make it irrelevant. That's why we're launching Operation Everyone Talk Like a Terrorist all the time. If we all openly discuss terrorist plots in each of our phone conversations, then eavesdropping on those phone conversations becomes pointless. It's simple. We just need to work it into our daily vernacular. For example, instead of saying, I love you, you could describe a terror attack. The larger the scale, the more you love the person.
Hi, Mom. I just got out of school. Can you pick me up?
I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm gonna use a truck bomb to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge.
I'm mailing anthrax to Piers to Morgan.
Or nonsense about God's will being great could mean affirmative, while horseshit about multiculturalism could mean negative.
Hey, man, they have a 7:30 show, and do you think you can make it in time?
God is merciful and his love is unchanging. Did you already get me a ticket?
Anti-racist is really just code for anti-white. Did you want me to?
Those that don't live by God's law deserve death, since I'm kind of tight on time.
All right, I'm going to set off the pipe bomb at Disneyland.
Flying a Cessna into the Sears Tower.
And those are just a few examples. You can make up your own. Have fun with it. But it's time for us to stand up and protect our rights. Because those assholes aren't going to. I'm going to set off a nuke at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
Great stuff. And of course, it's humor. So, all you NSA goons out there listening, it's a joke. Get over it.
Yeah. Another place we've been ahead of everything and everyone is talking about how we're being spied on all the time. And you know what's, people are saying stuff about this in the mainstream media. I mean, like, I get it. Is The Daily Show mainstream media? I guess so. But yeah, well, didn't he host the MTV Awards that guy was just joking about blowing up?
I think so, yeah.
Or was it the Oscars?
I don't know what that is.
I think he hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, we want to talk about the origin at some point of I don't know what that is. But yeah.
Well, you've been saying for a while that when we lose a file or when you lose your Bitcoin wallet password, hey, maybe I'll just contact the NSA and see if they've got it on file somewhere.
Yeah, and that's become a meme, and I'm not sure whether it came from us or not. It could have. Or maybe it's just great minds think alike, but there's a lot of memes going around about that.
Yeah, yeah. Really hilarious. You know, I mean, obviously it's a joke, so I don't think people should ever say stuff like that on the phone. But maybe putting in some of the buzzwords, you know, the trigger words that they put in there just randomly, that might help. I don't know. There's actually a poetry contest or a short story contest. It's both. You can submit either a poem or a short story right now. And the contest is to see how many of the watchwords you can put in in one poem or one short story. That kind of stuff where it's media specifically set to do that kind of thing. I mean, I think that kind of stuff's hilarious. It's, as Ben Stone would say, you know, putting molasses or putting a monkey wrench in the machinery of the state.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I can joke about this, but I suppose I can because they probably know anyway if they're listening to our phone calls. But I've gotten really twitchy when people did things like that before. Like Ben Stone likes to get on the phone with me and greet me with jokes like that. Us, you know, like with words that would set off the central scrutinizer, and he's completely joking and he's completely peaceful, but he'll be like, "Hey Michael, what's up? Pipe bomb, pipe bomb, pipe bomb," you know. And you know, actually I used to be in a band called Bomb, and I'm really glad I'm not anymore, because that'd be really tough. Now the joke was always, you know, after 9/11 was Bomb should get back together and do a tour with Anthrax, but the band Anthrax, but
right.
Who actually thought about changing their name after 9/11 or after those Anthrax attacks shortly after 9/11, and then, you know, had a discussion and decided, well, I guess we're not pussies. We're not going to change it. So, but I was a pussy, man. I mean, after 9/11, I was so worried about people being lined up and shot by the government for saying the wrong thing, even when it had innocent meaning. And I'm kind of ashamed to say this. This is even kind of dumber than you writing in a paper on how great Bill Clinton was in high school. Because this was me as an adult in my 30s. Right after 9/11, the Bomb webpage for my band Bomb, I did a search.
Was it really thebomb.com?
No.
Like people say,
I tried to get bomb.com. We were called Bomb before the Bomb for something cool was a phrase.
Yeah.
And there's actually a hip-hop band called Bomb who stole their name from us. And there was a punk band who stole their name from us who were called The Bomb. And the hip-hop guys, I asked them about it, and they said they never heard of us. But the guys in the punk band were in a band that my band Bomb had opened for. They were in Toxic Reasons, was it? Or I forget. No, Naked Ray Gun. And Bomb had opened for Naked Ray Gun twice, so they knew we existed. And they were stupid enough to use the same name for a band. It was after we broke up, but, you know, it'd be like me naming my band Led Zeppelin. It'd be the punk rock equivalent of that, you know?
Yeah.
Not really, because Led Zeppelin weren't that big, but it'd be the equivalent of, like, a band starting now and calling itself Jefferson Airplane or something. But
Zeppelin weren't that big? I thought they were huge.
No, but Bomb wasn't that big in punk rock. Okay. But, you know, we had our own little niche. But Naked Ray Gun were actually much bigger. They were the Led Zeppelin, and we were the... I don't know who was not as big as Led Zeppelin.
We were the platinum dirigible.
We were the Steeler's Wheel. You know, Led Zeppelin were the band that everybody had all their records. Steeler's Wheel wrote "Stuck in the Middle with You," and that's the only song anyone ever remembers from them. So, but when right after 9/11, I did a search and replace and changed the word "bomb" everywhere on the Bomb website to the word "cat."
And that's kind of funny, though.
The guitar, you know, this is way after the band broke up, and the guitarist in Bomb wrote me and said, "Michael, what the fuck?" Hilsinger wrote me and was like, "I was never in a band called Cat. Stop being such a dick and being so paranoid and fix that back how it was." You know, and I was like, Okay. I guess you got a point. And it was, you know, it was my website too. It was like Bomb never had an official website. I just did a Bomb fan site as the singer of the band. But yeah. Even so, Doug was like, "You idiot. I was never in a band called Cat. You fix that right now."
Well, I'm glad you fixed it. Good job.
Good show. What's up, Governor? Show. Got any guns? I'll just take those. Thank you.
I'll just be taking those.
Yes. So if we have any fans in Jackson, Mississippi or San Jose, California, they should write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Yes, okay. And we can use you to help us with error checks.
Yes.
That's when somebody makes sure that we're on the air and that it sounds okay.
Well, we're on the air in Jackson. We know that for a fact, but I just want to check how it sounds.
Right.
And San Jose, we have a friend that's a good friend that's going to be vacationing there, working there this summer, who's not from America, doesn't know his way around, and needs someone to show him around and tell him where to live and where renting an apartment will be good and where it will get him murdered.
Excellent.
They'll send someone from the Central Scrutinizer.
Yeah. I wanted to. We were searching for houses recently, and there was one I really loved. But it was in the ghetto. And so if I didn't have a family and a baby on the way, I would totally be like, "So I don't care, man. Whatever. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
I'll live in the ghetto for $100 cheaper a month." But yeah, the wife and the realtor was like, "I wouldn't let anybody live
there."
Well,
you're growing up because you're doing it too. You're not doing it also.
Yeah.
Hey, I have interesting proof that the guy who makes the Liberty private phones that we sell, one of our advertisers, that they are not the NSA. Because, you know, I mean, the NSA could do that. They could offer allegedly secure phones and then, you know, and then put something in them. Now, I got two of these phones. I gave one to someone else. And then I accidentally broke mine. I'm not going to go into it. And they're not easy to break. You know, they're not fragile. But I broke mine. So, I can
Michael, and he goes through and tries to do things to the stuff he gets. And
I didn't physically break it. I deleted something on it that I shouldn't have. And it didn't work. And then, you know, they're in a different country. So I have to basically, here's how I know they're not the NSA, because I told the guy that I broke it and he got fucking furious at me. Like, I gave you this free phone and you fucking broke it and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking you know, if it were the NSA, they'd be like, "All right, Governor, we'll just send you another one right away. We'll promptly overnight that to you." Or, you know, "All right, the black van that's circulating your neighborhood will stop by in 10 minutes and deliver one to you." Yeah.
"We'll see one in your mailbox shortly."
Yes.
Yeah.
"Please stand on your porch unarmed with your hands at your sides where we can see them."
Well, that's good news. The secure phone is probably not the NSA. Yay.
Yeah, and you know, there's a group of security experts I know actually vetting it today, so we'll have we'll know for sure. But that's my, I guess they call that human engineering in the hacking term. That's my human engineering proof that these are not the NSA and they really are secure.
There you go.
Although maybe speaking the NSA of, would think that I'd think that way. Wouldn't, man.
Speaking of in another country, Ron Paul brought up an interesting point recently about, is it Edward Snowden? What's the guy's name? Yeah, Edward Snowden, the leaker in the NSA scandal.
He snowed in Hong Kong now, a hotel room.
Yeah, in Hong Kong. And Ron Paul was on Fox News, and he brought up the point that, "Hey, I'm Ron Paul, and I'm worried that the United States government might drone this guy." Because, yes, he's an American citizen, but the United States government has droned American citizens it doesn't like for apparent free speech violations overseas. Now, not in Hong Kong yet. I mean, that's a pretty dense urban area. But
although, you know, they could probably just also poison his food if he's living off room service or whatever. So there's a CIA substation a couple miles up the street from him.
Mm.
So, you know, I also think the guy's a hero and I salute what he did and everything he did, but he's still kind of a statist. Like, well, this shouldn't be happening in the free America. You know, he has this, but then again, he worked for the NSA, you know, and he had Ron Paul stickers on his laptop. So, and EFF stickers. So he was not quite all there yet to where we are, but he did something we weren't able to do. And I don't know if I'd do, I would never have that job to begin with. I would never want a security clearance, but.
Right, but some people get it, and then they realize it later because they're working for the state, and they realize that all the propaganda they've been fed their whole life is BS. And so they start looking elsewhere for truth.
All I was going to say, though, is I don't know if Hong Kong would be my first choice for escaping from tyranny.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, China with open pornography or something. It's really not that free, man.
Right. Well, Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who works for The Guardian, who broke the story, also lives overseas. He lives in Brazil because the United States government won't let him and his Brazilian boyfriend move to the States because apparently his Brazilian boyfriend has AIDS. I'm hearing this on other radio shows, so I haven't vetted
George,
that myself.
Doesn't George Donnelly live in Brazil?
I don't know.
I think he does. I know he lives in South America. He's married to a South American woman and lives outside America in South America.
But if you take Ron Paul's fear that the leaker could be droned or kidnapped, and then you combine that with the fact that the United States government is going after an actual journalist, a Fox News journalist, for supposedly hearing things from a leaker and asking questions of a leaker, you know, could they also then target Glenn Greenwald or journalists? You know, I mean, Julian Assange is basically a journalist, and he's been targeted. So,
well,
I mean,
he's being really smart about it. You know, that's where you should go. Isn't, you know, a hotel in Hong Kong. You should go to a consulate of a country that's not going to turn you over to America, because they're not going to bomb a consulate. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, hopefully not. We'll see. But that's a good point. That's a good point.
I want to talk on the Sunday show about, because Saturday we got interviews for half of it. But Sunday, I want to talk about this weird lib pair I found. Chernobyl, Russia is kind of a governmentless zone right now. Basically, there's so much radiation there, it can kill you. And there are people who choose to squat there.
Because nobody will go there.
Yeah. There's some people that live there that lived there before the accident and just wouldn't leave. And they made young people leave, but they let old people stay, I guess because they're going to die anyway. But some people go in there and run around it and steal stuff or poke around and just take pictures and, you know, have sex in abandoned apartments. Because literally, it's called Chernobyl stalking. It's a hobby. There's actually websites devoted to pictures of it. Actually, when that happened, the government came in and said, you are leaving your home right now with whatever you can carry, and took people out of their homes and never let them back. So there are, you know, there are like hundreds of apartment units there and houses that have everything in them that a house would have, you know, like people, there's like the cup of soup is
fully
still
furnished
on the table with a spoon in it, you know, dried and crusted and moldy and eaten by animals. But people were in the middle of going about their day when the government came in and said, you're going to die if you don't get out. And they were probably right, but they didn't make the really old people leave. And then some young people moved in there, and it's kind of I don't know what their reasons are, but I'm assuming it might be to be left alone. And some people have different reactions to radiation. Some people can live in that amount of it comfortably, and other people, you know, die quickly or get sick quickly from it. And some people get cancer from it and take a long time to die. But some people can survive it, and there are people living there, like a couple hundred people.
Cool. Well, I mean, that's an opportunity for a frontier then, isn't it? I mean,
I guess we don't...
easier to wear radiation suits in Chernobyl than to fly to Mars.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Soviet Russia or Russia, Kyle Bennett had a gem today that says, in my country, law breaks you.
What is it? What's the picture?
Oh, there's no picture. It's just a quote. But I thought it was clever. I would say in Soviet America, law breaks you.
Well, I saw one of a dog that had cornered two cops on the top of a police car, and it said, in Soviet America, animal controls officer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a crazy world we're living in, isn't it? It's great, as Kanye would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I had more on. What were we talking about before? I lost the
Chernobyl.
Plot,
man. Chernobyl, man. And before Chernobyl, we were talking about the NSA scandal and Edward Snowden.
Yeah, and, Hong Kong. Not Hong Kong. But yeah,
and how Julian Assange is doing it right because he's holed up in a consulate. You know, the state is protecting him from the state, apparently.
Yeah, in a weird kind of lib pair Chernobyl like zone, which is basically a consulate. What consulate is he in? He's in London, but technically a consulate is the sovereign soil of not the host nation, but of the nation that it is the consulate of. What? Where is he? What consulate?
Let's look it up. Julian Assange consulate.
Yes.
I spelled his name wrong. Ecuadorian embassy. Here's a
and I guess Ecuador,
Guardian article
I guess
about
Ecuador
it.
Doesn't have a extradition treaty with England or UK or America or the other countries that are going. Wasn't it Sweden? Sweden was going after him for like sex.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a really weird thing that's not a law in America. It's like rape. Basically, if you have consensual sex with someone in Sweden and don't use a condom and they agree to that, later they can decide they can regret it and charge you with rape.
Oh, man, yeah. That's statism to a T, isn't it?
That's matriarchal, uber-feminist statism, too, because a lot of that part of the country, of those, you know, Norway, Sweden, Scandinavia, there's a lot of countries in there, in Europe in general, but especially in those countries that have a big feminist lobby in their parliaments that have a lot of influence, and their feminism, the kind that gets to the point of having that kind of political power, is usually not equality feminism, but rather like equality can only be come by putting men down and harming them. You know, like was the country that like was legally requiring that men sit down when they pee? Or trying to.
Some European country. Yeah, we talked about it a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we talk about as proposed legislation and we never find out if it passed. I just assume they all pass, but.
Well, they don't. But like we've said before, the problem with horrible legislation is even if the, quote, people win the battle against it and it doesn't go into law, then sometimes it'll come back, it'll pop its head. It's like a whack-a-mole thing, you know? How can you sit there and keep your eye on the legislative body 100%? You can't. But they're there every day thinking up new horrible laws to enforce on you, new horrible edicts, all these man-made laws. I don't know the exact legal situation in South Korea with regards to this, but I have a friend who lives in South Korea now, and she married a South Korean man, and so she lives there. And apparently she got fired from her job because there's some new law regarding education, and you have to have a certain level of education to have – I don't know if it's certain jobs or any job. But she basically got let go because she didn't have the right piece of paper.
Wow.
And it seems like that in the end should be a thing that's up to the person.
What, she already had the job and could do it and was doing well, and they changed the law and she got fired?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and stuff like that, I guess, you know, in America it can happen. I don't think it's a law. But
I'll bet their teachers union lobbied for that. That sounds like a jobs program for higher education to me.
Yeah, unfortunately it does. But back to the patriarchy thing, there was a guy, oh God, I can't remember his name right now, but a really interesting guy who Stefan Molyneux has been interviewing a lot. And basically he was part of the National Women's Organization or National Organization for Women, some big feminist contingent back in the women's lib movement years or decades ago. And he basically left them when they decided to pursue legislative means and basically attack men rather than uplifting women.
Yeah.
Because in the end, there's no reason why you have to put another group or individual down in order to make your own situation better. At least when you do that, it's a net negative on society. You know, people, to make the world better, need to be looking for win-win situations, not crab mentality things of, well, I'm down here, so I'm going to pull you down with me.
Yeah. I'm looking for pictures from Pussy Riot of the from that documentary about the members of the Russian Orthodox Church that were in this movie. They looked like bikers, man. They're so gothic looking, and some even had t-shirts that looked like biker t-shirts that were like black and white and had skulls and said in Russian, like, you know, the church or death and things like that. I'm sending you some pictures of these guys. They're so gothic is just the word that comes to mind, man. I mean, they look like Ben Stone if he was square, but I don't know. And wearing religious garb. They all have beards. They just look like angry, crazy bikers, man. And nothing against bikers, but just like it's weird seeing religious leaders who look like old bikers to me.
Yeah.
You look at the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dudes in black robes with full beards. Reminds me of the mullahs in Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sure does.
Huh. Oh, yeah. It totally does. Totally does.
God, you got to see this one, man. I'm sending you right now. It's hilarious. But what?
Okay. You should post these up on the site, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, though, you know, the where it becomes a problem is in the lack of voluntarism. It's the church and state working together, or the state using the church, or vice versa, to impose their values, their morals, and their wills and whims on the average person who never decided to agree to that level of morality or that specific philosophy in the first place.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing because, you know, membership of the church there, of most churches in a lot of places, is voluntary. But, you know, they want government protection. I guess I can kind of understand why they would go there, but because the government destroyed the church and literally bulldozed it and killed people for being in it. But, you know, you kind of have to look at it, too, like any government that's going to protect you could do the same thing. Oh, this is great. This is a picture of them doing their performance in the church. I got to send you this.
The Pussy Riot gals?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah. Wearing multicolored balaclavas. Yeah. They look like your windscreens, Michael.
I know. Exactly. And they addressed that in there. They said, you know, they wanted to be anonymous and a collective, so like no one person is the focus of it, and they wanted to hide their identity. But when they first got together, they put on black balaclavas, and one of their dads said, people are going to think that you're bad people if you're wearing black balaclavas. So they were like, well, let's wear multicolored ones, and that's why they look like Easter eggs.
There you go. Okay.
One of their dads is great, man. One of their dads, they interviewed him, and he was like, yeah, I was on the subway with her when she told me about the idea for the group, and I tried to talk her out of it. And we went 3 or 4 stops on the subway of me trying to talk her out of it. And since I couldn't,
she talked him into it.
Since I couldn't, I started writing lyrics with her on the train.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good dad right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I found it. It's Dr. Warren Farrell. He's the guy that used to be in the feminist movement until the feminist movement decided to use the power of the state to take men down a notch rather than remove the things in society that were keeping women from the freedom that they did and do deserve. He wrote a book called The Myth of Male Power. And listen to this guy talk. I've heard him a few times. Really great, interesting stuff. And he kind of makes the point that, you know, there's historically, men and women have each been subject to their societal roles, and it wasn't a situation of men dominating women or women dominating men, but each sex being dominated by the role that they were expected to have in society.
Yeah.
And in order to make things better, it's more about figuring out what the role is and what needs to change about the role to make it better in our current, more modern society.
Yeah.
Not with legislation, but with education.
I think you should post all of these links I just sent you on the Freedom Fiends Facebook page. While we're chatting, we'll chat.
While we're chatting, no.
Yeah.
What I'll do is, why don't I throw them all into like a Photoshop and make it one image, so there's not a million uploads of men with beards and black robes, because the NSA will not take too kindly to that.
No, why? Who cares?
They don't like men in black robes with beards, man.
Oh, because they look like mullahs?
Yeah, yeah. They're Christian mullahs. They'll think we're Christian extremists.
Man, do you really think you want to put in that? Put it this way, it doesn't violate the rules we've set up for the Freedom Fiends, any of our media or sites. The basic rule is, you know, nothing that's going to get us droned. And these days, I think everything is going to get everyone watched. Obviously, we've been saying that for years, and now everyone
nothing will get
it.
Everyone watched.
Nothing we put is going to get us drunk. We're not calling for violence. We're showing Russian Orthodox old dudes with beards. I think you should just post all of these randomly with no explanation. Is what I'm saying.
I can see that. See what people will take from it.
And then in an hour or two, when this goes out and people listen to it over the next day, they'll go, "Okay, I get it now."
Yeah, and on every one, David Stump will comment, "Who is this guy?"
Yes, who is David Stump? I'm going to call this episode, "Who is David Stump?" What
who
do you think?
Who is David Stump? And then John Galt kind of thing.
And then use a picture of me, and he'll be like, "Wait, what? Yeah. Who yes. is David Stump? That's awesome.
Sometimes we enlighten and entertain, and sometimes we shock and confuse.
Yes.
That's the range of the fiends.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. So,
were we gonna go to reading the user submissions?
Oh yeah, we said we'd do that. Why don't we go to the market for a little bit and come back, right, and we'll read some reader submissions.
Worms on the Freedom Fiends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the Central Scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
So the Freedom Fiends are looking for one or two more admins for our Facebook presences. If you're interested, it doesn't pay, but it does give you an instant audience to be able to post stuff and get your thoughts out there within certain Feeniac parameters. And basically, I'm just looking for people who are on the internet a lot of the time who can repost stuff that we send to them, because it's a long story, but I'm not on Facebook. I have given myself a cease and desist order from there, but it's hard to get the guys who are doing it for us to be around. It's not a bad thing. They're good guys. They're just busy. And so we need a couple more so it doesn't take me 24 hours to get something posted or get it posted in the middle of the night when it should be posted during the day. So if you want a non-paying job opportunity with very little room for advancement, please write the Freedom Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfoxtrotechoechonovembersierra.com. Worms. Fiends, yo.
Fiends, yo. That be us. We be the Fiends.
Yeah.
Yes. We are your friendly local anarchist freedom lovers. I'm Nima Vidati, and that's Michael W. Dean.
Yeah, I'm not really listening. I'm stealing time from the Fiends, making a post that says, "Who is David Stump?"
Ah, who is David Stump? Yes. Before we get into the meat, I would also like to encourage all of the hip-hop lovers out there. You probably already know this, but I've been a fan of Kendrick Lamar for a long time, and my little brother actually showed me some of his cohorts that he's sort of come up with pre-Dr. Dre producing his hit record. It's called Top Dog Entertainment. There's a dude named Absol, a dude named J-Rock, who actually has a feature on Mad City, which is one of the greatest songs. Wait, no, it's Money Trees that he has the feature on. But I encourage, if you dig in Kendrick Lamar, check out Top Dog Entertainment. Check out Absol. He's got a great video, music video called Terrorist Threats. where he kind of bashes Obama. One of the best lines is he says, if all the gangs in the world unify, we might stand a chance against the military tonight. Great song. So check out Top Dog Entertainment if you haven't already. And we're going to go to users' submissions. Yeah, for a while
submit.
Submit, please. We've had a while this submitting news items page on the Freedom Fiends website where people can submit things they'd like us to talk about. Sometimes we get to them anyway because they filter in and we end up talking about them, or they're things we were about to talk about anyway. But we're going to go ahead and go through some of these, do some house cleaning, and get her done. Yeah. So first, we have Roger Wilco. This is from June 10th. He posts a link to CIA fake vaccination program used in hunt for Osama bin Laden could cost lives. And he comments, in your last Sunday podcast, you guys were talking about how the state doesn't just fail, but actually hurts and causes harm. The link above shows a good example of how in the hunt for bin Laden, the U.S. government has actually broken the trust of people in medical programs that save lives. And I had heard about this before. I'm not sure or not if we had talked about this because we do go through a lot of tyrannies all the time. But yeah, that is the headline. And the gist of it, you know, I'd heard the story before, is one of the ways the CIA was trying to spy to get intel on where Osama bin Laden was doing fake vaccination programs in Pakistan. Obviously, this can cause lots of harm. I'll read the first couple graphs from this Telegraph story here. Last week, it was claimed that the CIA had set up a fake vaccination program in the town where Osama bin Laden was believed to be hiding in an attempt to obtain DNA evidence confirming the president's or the presence of family members. Genetic material retrieved from his infant relatives during vaccination would have been compared to a sample taken from bin Laden's sister, who died in a U.S. hospital in 2010. Shakil Afridi, a senior Pakistani doctor allegedly recruited by the CIA to head the clandestine operation in March, has since been arrested by Pakistani intelligence for his collusion. The revelations mark a further decline in relations between the two countries, although the U.S. is in talks with Pakistani officials to secure Afridi's release. But the damage is likely to spread beyond diplomatic circles. By disguising its information-gathering exercise as a hepatitis B vaccination program, the CIA threatens to erode trust in foreign aid teams worldwide, undermining genuine efforts to eradicate life-threatening disease.
Now, is this definitely something that happened, or is this a theory?
No, I believe the CIA, it's established that the CIA did have this program.
Okay, so I have to point that out to anybody who questions anyone for getting a flu shot here. Mm. You know, does Alex Jones sound that crazy? I mean, I really look at like what the government will do overseas to be about 6 months to 18 months away from what they'll do to citizens here. I really do.
Right.
And were they fake? I mean, were they like they didn't actually protect against this, or they were giving them the thing and also taking DNA?
That's the important question, and I don't know if it's answered in this article. Let's see. I mean, they call it the Telegraph, which is a fairly reputable news organization in the United Kingdom. They call it a fictitious vaccination program. Let's see. They quote Maren McKenna, an author, that says it plays so precisely that it might have been scripted into the most paranoid conspiracy theories about vaccines, that they are pointless, poisonous, covert shields for nefarious government agendas meant to do children harm. Doesn't really say anything about if they were fake vaccines, but I don't know. I guess that's the pertinent question. And without knowing that, it's kind of hard to really comment on how bad it could have been. I mean, obviously, if there are fake vaccines, then the kids don't get real vaccines and they're unprotected if, you know, you're in the camp that vaccines protect you from this thing.
Hey, I got a question unrelated to that. You did some work on a Songs of Freedom documentary. That hip-hop thing, is that out?
Yeah.
Can people download that?
That is out, yeah.
Where can
check
they get
out
it?
Songs of Freedom. They have a website. Let me see. He sent it to me. Yeah, I should pitch that. Here we go.
I know. You're the MC of it. It's a bunch of different bands, including you and me and Silver Stacks, but you're like kind of the toaster, like the MC between the songs, like as if it were a live DJ at a wedding or something. Your wedding DJ work came out in that, and it was really cool.
It did. Yeah, yeah. And not only just my voice, but I actually did some mixing under my voice in the segments, you know, taking samples of the songs that we're about to play. It was actually really cool. And I don't know if enough people have heard it yet, but it looks like you can go to frednick.com. Fred Autonom is the guy who did it.
Spell that, please. Frednick.com.
FREDNIK.
Foxtrot, Romeo, Echo, Delta, November, India, Kilo.com. Hey, I'm getting better at that.
Yes, and I think from there you can, you know, just click on rap, and there's podcasts that they have for the hip-hop anthologies. The one I did the toasting on is part three. So the full address is obviously frednick.com, like we just said, /rap/HHACAST3.mp3, but I would just go to the frednick.com and find it from there.
So I'm at the frednick.com/rap. Where is it on there?
Let's see.
No, that's the whole thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, that's got all the songs. It doesn't have, he has the thing as like one file, right? Where is that?
Well, we'll see. Look at the top of that. It says podcast, and it has one and three.
Okay.
If you click on the three, that's the MP3 hosted on his.
I'll link the rap part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have some stuff in there too. Right Arm of Wyoming is on volume 2 or 1. I forget which it is, but
yeah. Although that's not in the hip hop anthology, I didn't toast your punk rock stuff.
I know.
Hip hop anthology is just rap. I think it's the and all rock. That kind of rap musical music.
Yeah, it's the rock one. Red Arm, yeah. Tar and Feather
Attacks. And on the main one, there's like a main one that's multi-genre.
Am I on that too?
Yeah, I think you're on that, and I Own Me is also on that. That's just the basic Songs of Freedom. And for more information, you know, or to be updated on whenever new things happen, like Songs of Freedom on Facebook. That's the Facebook page, is Songs of Freedom. All liberty-oriented stuff. You know, it's not all ANCAP. It's not all anarchists. There's some minarchist stuff in there and maybe some left-leaning anarchist stuff in there. But it's music that hates the state, or at least hates some of the state. So it's good stuff, a lot of it.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and go back to some of our submitting news items. So basically, I guess the final thing with that CIA vaccination program is, I mean, when the state pretends to be helping you, they could have nefarious or even fraudulent things going on in the program that you don't even know about or that you couldn't even imagine. So be very wary to trust the state's supposed help that they're trying to give you or your family or people anywhere. Next up, and I think you had commented back to Jay Haynes for this, but there's a New Science article posted by Jay Haynes on June 5th on a turning point in drone use, and this is controlling drones via thought. So instead of a joystick, they are testing controlling drones with basically – they put these nodes.
You just think bad thoughts about people and they die.
It's not like that yet. But, you know, who knows where it goes. But right now it's basically, what are they called? Like those contacts that they sort of strap to your head and then it uses brainwaves. Xbox. Uses brainwaves to control the drone. So you think up or you think down or you think left and you think right. You know, it kind of removes the air that can come from your mind sending signals to your hands. And not only this, but there's a lot of interesting work being done on using brainwaves to control things. I sent you the documentary called Mind Tunes. It was more like a PR thing that I think Smirnoff
was doing. It was an ad for liquor, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting too, and I like that. I like it when some beverage purveyor does interesting science or funds interesting science. I mean, look at Red Bull. And now,
I had some comments on that one too. And I'll link that, but I like that the view out the window at their office in London is that power station that's on cover of the Pink Floyd Animals record, which is actually a place they used to have raves too. So it's kind of in weird techno-y synthesizer-y trancy music.
Yeah.
That thing is like Mecca in England.
Right.
And that's, I think they intentionally, you know, took Smirnoff's money and rented the office where it looks out the window at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that thing in person. It's pretty cool. It's giant, man.
Cool.
I also want to know, so basically what this was a bunch of guys that were DJs or music producers who are in wheelchairs and don't have full function of their body, and they hooked them up to this software that allows them to make music with just thinking.
And hardware. It was like a helmet that they put on their head, and it had nodes that would measure their brain waves.
I want to know how those guys ended up in wheelchairs and if it had anything to do with drinking. Smirnoff. Smirnoff.
Drinking and or techno music.
Yeah,
too much. Twerking too hard when they were on Molly. Or
too much MDMA at the rave at that power station out the window.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
You know, I sent you something that that is funny. I sent you my compressor settings because you just bought the same compressor. So if people think Nima sounds really good, he may. I may not sound really good today. I don't know.
I based my sound on your settings, but I did go and tweak my EQ and some other things some more.
But when I sent you the email with compressor settings, you know, one of the settings is the ratio knob, and you said I put radio instead of ratio.
Yeah.
Like, I just think about radio so nonstop that I mistyped ratio as radio.
You did.
That's funny.
You did. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. And some news you can use. The way I figured out my EQ curve, and you know, people who do music probably know this already, but for those of you who are new, I actually recorded my voice from the Presonus preamp without any EQ, just flat. You know, the compressor was there, the preamp was there. And then I looked at it with the spectral analyzer in Cubase.
Geek.
No, spectral analyzers are important.
I said
man.
Geek. I didn't say you fucking asshole. I said geek. Don't correct me when you're saying, and I put my voice through the spectral analyzer to figure out what to do. And I say, I'm basically saying person who uses technology in an advanced way. And you're saying,
you're right.
You're saying,
no.
Don't do that.
Well, it reminds me of Jeffrey Tucker's explanation of the difference between geeks and wonks.
Yeah.
Wonks are policy wonks. They're people who want to, who just care about power, and everything they know is just to further their power or their organization's power. Whereas geeks are somebody who are interested in something specific because it interests them, and they're obsessed with it for the pure knowledge rather than to further their own power. So yeah, I guess I'm a geek in a sense with this stuff. But yeah, so I looked where my voice, where the actual sound was that my voice is. And then I bumped up those and cut the other things so that I would know where the sound was and be able to raise that volume without raising the volume that is nothing but noise, because my actual voice isn't where that EQ is or where that frequency is.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, so you can do that, man. Look at your stuff that you want to bump up in a spectral analyzer, and then you'll know where you need to bump it.
A sphinctral analyzer.
Sphinctral analyzer.
Yeah.
You would say that.
Oh, yeah. Because it's, you know, I think I cuss more and do more prurient stuff now on Wednesdays because I'm just like, holy fuck, shit, puss.
Yeah,
puss.
It's the release valve. Puss.
Piss,
you like
shit,
puss.
Fuck, cunt, tits, cock, duck, pussy, cow, asshole, cocksucker, motherfucking Barbra Streisand.
There you go.
Somebody calls our Wednesday cast now the shit piss fuck casts, right?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I think it was David. Who was it? It was Christian down in Texas.
Yeah. Our sound guy.
Yeah,
sort of
a sound guy.
Our sound consultant.
A sound consultant. I'm not going to put it all on him.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm our sound consultant, man. I'm our sound
true.
Guy. You're our sound guy.
That's true. So Max, he's up next on our Fiend submission. He says, I just wrote a book, Bitcoin Revolution, Ending Tyranny for Fun and Profit. And he's got an Amazon link. He says, I believe I have many insights into Bitcoin, including being the victim of a $180,000 heist. And I think it would make a great addition to your websites. And okay, so that's spam, but
I let it fly. It's spam that's related. I mean, the guy's obviously just searching websites that have the word Bitcoin on them, but it might be useful. I'm not going to give it any more time than that. And I am going to say that's fucking spam, dude. But, you know, not everybody has the network of amazingness that we have to get our words out there all over the world. And, you know,
there should be a word for relevant spam. Because sometimes I did on like Scott Horton's Facebook page or somebody else's Facebook page that I know might be interested in it. And it might not be relevant to that specific conversation, but it's that audience. So it's not spam like you. It's not like the Chinglish spam we get that's like, I would like to utilize your website.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So next up, Liberty 13 says, he has a quote to a Reuters article, the headline, Net
a
U.S.
Link.
Cybercrime Liberty Reserve charges. Okay, so I guess that's not really the headline. But the quote says, "Looks like the FedGov is on the offensive in a new way. They don't want currency competition. Tends to happen when someone knows their product is inferior in the market." And the actual Reuters headline says, U.S. accuses currency exchange of laundering $6 billion. U.S. prosecutors have filed an indictment against
the operators. We talked about this, man. We did this extensively. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Okay. So fair enough. I guess we've reached the point in our submitting news items where we're becoming redundant.
I kind of want to deal with this one that came out today of Germany is accusing America of Stasi-style things. I just sent it to you. German outrage over a U.S. internet spying program has broken out ahead of a visit by Barack Obama, with ministers demanding the president provide a full explanation when he lands in Berlin next week, and one official likening the tactics to those of East German Stasi. Now, I'm going to have you read more of that and we'll comment on it. But the interesting thing is why Obama's there. He's there to give a speech celebrating U.S.-German ties on the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's famous Ich bin ein Berliner speech, which for those
which
who don't
I
know...
I am a jelly donut.
Yeah. Basically, he was saying Ich bin ein Berlin, whatever it would be. What he meant, what he tried to say was I am a Berliner. I am of you in this. I'm right. One of you. America is united with you. It was a line near the end of a long speech he gave of saying, let's open up relations between America. Well, actually, I think it was concerned with West Germany and keeping the East closed, wasn't it? But what was his take on that? I don't know. I think he wanted to keep it closed because he was adamantly anti-communist to the point where, like, freaked out about it. Like, it's a disease. It's going to spread. We have to kill it. We have to contain it. I think he was into containing East Germany because he didn't – when really, like, no, most people there didn't want to be there. And they wanted to embrace Western ideas and non-communism. But, you know, I guess he considered it was a concentration camp that him and the Russians and the UK, I think, had put up to keep it in place. And it was a dividing up the empire after lunch kind of thing. But
really what they did was just sell people who happened to live in certain places on a map, just sold those people into Soviet slavery. That's really what happened.
Yeah.
All right.
But he was saying, I'm a Berliner. I'm one of you. But he got the German wrong, and he said, Ich bin ein Berliner, which means I'm a jelly donut. And people applauded thunderously because they knew what he meant. But it's still a joke in Germany. When I was in Germany playing with my band Bomb, at a truck stop in Germany, I bought a sticker and put it on my bass case. It was a jelly donut with a face drawn on it with a little word bubble that said, Ich bin ein Berliner. They're still making fun of us for that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. All right. So German Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman has said she will raise the issue.
She's the one that George Bush gave a really inappropriate hug and feel and squeeze to, wasn't she?
Yeah, I remember that. Did he cop a feel on her booty?
Yeah.
On her big German bratwurst-filled booty?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, her aide says that she'll raise the issue with Obama in talks next Wednesday, potentially casting a cloud over a visit which was designed to celebrate blah, blah, blah. Government surveillance is an extremely sensitive topic in Germany, where memories of the dreaded Stasi secret police and its extensive networks of informants are still fresh in the minds of citizens. So are they angry or are they concerned with the surveillance state in the United States?
Well,
or are they worried that it'll leak over into spying on German websites?
It already is. I mean, a bunch of – in the interview with Glenn Greenwald where he was first kind of breaking this – on, I forget, it was 60 Minutes or whatever, Beat the Press, whatever it was. They said that, and he didn't disagree, that most of the information they'd gathered in this program was from outside the U.S. But
right, because I think their main focus was on communications that originated at least partly from overseas, or not originated, but to where multiple sides from overseas.
They must be spying on Europe. I mean, if they're getting this inordinate amount of phone data and internet data, and they're spying on all of the, you know, two of the three at least major U.S. phone providers, and most of the data they're getting is from outside the U.S., I mean, the math on that would seem to imply they're spying on all of Europe and the Middle East, too. Mm-hmm. So they're probably, And I would not be surprised if the German government is making a big grandstand and they're doing a smaller amount of this in their own country.
A PR move for their next election.
Here's the thing. Germans are really apt to take to the streets. And there's a lot of anarchists there. Like literal leftist anarchists. But there are people walk their talk there too. There's a lot of, when I was there in 91, like right around, you know, after the wall fell, I was hanging out with people and staying with them when we were playing who were, you know, they were anarchists who would go battle police, like not aggress on police, but they would go, and it was extremely common for the police to use tear gas on them and use water cannons. And these were people who would pick up the tear gas canister and throw it back into a crowd of police. I mean, they were defensive, not offensive, but they were not afraid of a little bit of government. And you have to look at the history of Germany. I mean, it came out of Nazism, not to even go before that, but it came out of Nazism, and then they had the Red Army faction for some part of a decade, which was basically a decentralized group of in-country terrorists who were blowing up anything they could and wearing balaclavas doing it. And then they, you know, then after that, there were nonviolent anarchists who were wearing balaclavas and out in the street. And so Germans are really not happy when they see, you know, the average German or the German government are really attuned to civil unrest and don't want to piss off people. And I can see the government in Germany yelling at Obama for doing this, you know.
Although, according to Reuters, in Germany, the German populace suffers from some of the same problems that the left in America does.
They love Obama.
Still being on Obama's nuts. Yeah, a poll last week showed 82% of Germans view him favorably.
Yeah, but
I didn't know he said this, but I mean, I guess this isn't super relevant to Germany, but I didn't know that Obama was defending the spying stuff, or PRISM, I guess as people call it, as, quote, a modest encroachment,
he
end
is.
Quote, on privacy.
Oh,
modest encroachment.
It was in that speech that you quoted. You only saw part of it on a YouTube video where he talked about, if you don't trust these three branches of government,
then
we're
going to
have
a problem.
Yeah, I watched more of that speech. And in that speech, he was basically like, we're not listening to anyone's phone calls. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. And basically saying, we're not doing what we're doing. We're not doing what we're doing. We're not doing what we're doing.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. I wonder, too. And Scott Horton was wondering this out loud, and nobody, I guess, has really proven anything. But do you think they'd have the technical ability to literally record every phone call for safekeeping, for later playing in investigations or spying operations? Scott was like, well, could you compress, you know, phone audio, which isn't super high quality anyway? Would you be able to compress it down to, like, you know, really small sizes? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that some were probably slipping through the cracks, but I think they're trying to get as much as possible. I mean, that was the stated open goal a year or two ago in that Wired article of that data center in Utah. I just don't know why this is fucking news. 2 years ago, we were reading news articles where the government was saying, we're trying to do this.
Well, because it's a national conversation. 2 years ago, we were reading it, and maybe Alex Jones and Free Talk Live. And
Alex Jones was saying it about
15.
Alex Jones was saying it about 15 years ago.
But now that everybody's talking about it, now that Fox will talk about it and CNN will talk about it, it's news again, and it's an important opportunity for the people who have been talking. Just like when the economy actually collapsed. And then all of a sudden, Peter Schiff was super relevant because he had been saying that it was going to collapse for 3 years and saying that there was a bubble in housing.
I still don't know why that didn't work with Ron Paul, because Ron Paul was warning against 9/11 a few years before 9/11. And
well,
basically
it kinda
did. Saying.
And that was one of the ways, I mean, one of the come to Jesus moments for a lot of people was watching that debate with him where he said blowback, the word, and explained what it was. And Giuliani was just like, what?
9/11. 9/11. 9/11.
9/11.
Before 9/11, yeah.
Right.
Or after 9/11.
After 9/11, but pointing out that the blowback is a CIA invented term, and it's something they talk about and something they weigh in their decision making is how much blowback will this entail.
Yeah. Well, we're getting near the end of our day here. I want some redemption in the third act. You got any?
We got a kicker.
All right.
I didn't read the article yet, but the headline alone here is a kicker. It's a Time headline from their business and money section on their website. The headline is Google, quote, it's not a quote, but you know, it's the thing where they put the colon. Google, colon, we're no NSA stooge and we'll prove it if the feds let us.
Now, to anyone who's new to the Freedom Fiends, explain why that's funny.
Because they're saying we're not a stooge to the federal government, but we won't be able to prove it unless the federal government lets us.
Which is saying they're a stooge.
They're a stooge.
Yeah.
Now, that could just be a bad headline of them sensationalizing something Google said and taking it out of context. So let's read the first two graphs here, according to Time. Tech giant Google has asked the U.S. Department of Justice for permission to publish the number of national security information requests it receives from the government, including requests made under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, also known as FISA, one of the laws at the heart of recent blockbuster disclosures about government data collection. Even before the recent government snooping controversy erupted, civil liberties advocates had asked the company to disclose FISA requests in the interest of transparency, but Google has a self-serving reason to do so as well. The tech giant wants to prove that it doesn't give the government unfettered access to the vast trove of data it collects from users. Now, I would argue that they're still a stooge, even if they're only giving a finite amount to the state, because the state is at its heart illegitimate anyway. Did I lose you, Michael?
Worms.
Ah, worms.
I had things to do, man.
You had things to do. Yeah, I noticed it was silent. I was just worried that the compass stopped working, but I guess we're still good to go.
We're still good.
So yeah, man, I don't know. Saying we're not stooges, we'll prove it if we're not stooges of let us prove it. And it's Google, man. I thought their whole thing was do no evil and doing stuff anyway, or at least it used to be.
To put that more clearly, what they're saying is we're not slaves and we'll prove it if our master lets us.
Yeah, there you go. That's the succinct way of putting it.
Not everyone knows what a stooge is. It's kind of an old guy term, but
And wasn't it a punk rock musical band?
Yeah, it was the first one. It was Iggy and the Stooges, Iggy Pop's band.
Yeah, there you go.
But they were named after the Three Stooges, which were stooge meant idiot in that case, but it also means, you know, slaves.
Right. Because idiots are slaves and they revel in it. There you go.
Well, Slaves who choose to be slaves and allow themselves to be slaves are idiots. You know, people that are hit over the head and thrown in a cage, they're not idiots necessarily.
Right.
Unless they could have prevented it. Yeah. Unless they said, we don't need guns. The government will protect us. And then the government came and put them in a cage.
So I would say Google should publish these things anyway if you want them out there.
Google and should let someone
leak
them.
Take a page.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Let somebody leak them, Google. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. And I wasn't saying anything about using guns on the government. I was being peaceful. I was making a point about history, not about our government, about a different government. Well, our government in the slave days.
It's all the same state, man.
And the governments that allowed the slaves to be, you know, black people in Africa put blacks on boats and were paid to do it.
Mm. Yep.
It's not everyone knows that.
They should.
Yep.
I guess they do now if they've been listening to us. All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us on our Wednesday Piss Kitty Shitty cast. And join us on Saturday and Sunday upcoming for our live radio show. Like you said, on Saturday we'll have some interviews with some people about guns and weed in Colorado. Yeah. Obviously two separate people.
And as goes Colorado, so goes the nation. It's an interesting kind of... Well, it's an interesting kind of... test state for legislation because it's so right wing and so left wing at the same time in a way most states aren't. Most states
That's
are kind of one or the other, or else they have a city where everyone's left and then the rest of the state is right, like Austin, California, New York especially, Illinois especially. But Colorado, not quite like that. It's not really regional. It's got a lot of people who like both guns and weed. So there.
Thank you, fiends. And we're
out.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy, Dean. From the U.S., get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. make copies, email it to everyone you know, go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.